Good morning, friends. As we come to Easter morning, this morning I want to talk to you about the word courage. And you may have heard many different definitions of courage. Here's the one I want to lift up for you. Courage is the willingness to face reality, both internal reality and external reality. And as Christians, here's the exciting part of this. Christians can have courage because we do not face either reality alone. Courage is the willingness to face reality, both of our inner world and our outer world. And we can have courage because we face neither reality by ourselves. Even in our inner world, God has given us tools, His presence, and clues for facing that reality. Now this morning we're going to look at some profiles in courage. And we're going to look at how God put us together. Because courage is an important thing right now in our world. And being courageous is also an act of faith. So let's start together. I want to begin by asking you a question to reflect on your inner world as part of this. I want you to think about a time when something struck you just right and you began to laugh so hard that you cried. Have you ever had that happen to you? A situation where somebody began something, you were in an event, a party, something happened, and you began, it hit you in waves, and you laughed and laughed and laughed until you cried. I remember when I was a child, my mother and father took me to Disney World, and we went on the teacup ride. My mother wore a nylon set of pants that were slippery. And when she sat down in that teacup ride and we started spinning, she could not stay in one place. And literally she slid around that teacup. And as she did so, it struck her funny. And I still to this day remember her laughing so hard that the tears were just streaming down her face. It was uncontrollable. And maybe if you've ever had this before, you know that you can actually get to the point of exhaustion. You can laugh so hard that you're just exhausted by the end of it. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? If you've ever been that kind of full of joy, a fullness that kind of starts at the bottom of your feet and just rises up inside of you, it fills you, it spills out of you. It's kind of like sticking a dish under a faucet and turning it on. It just fills and keeps filling and filling it just until it just spills over. I've had some moments of joy like that in my life. I remember distinctly standing at the end of the aisle at the church when my wife appeared at the top of the aisle on our wedding day. And I remembered it just kind of started in my feet and just rose up through me. Just this sense of joy and gratitude and love for her. And as she walked down the aisle, I could feel the tears just beginning to form out of me. And I wasn't laughing. It wasn't a laughing kind of thing. It was just this incredible joy that just so filled my being that I began to cry. Maybe you can relate to this as well. When I saw my children for the first time, I was so blessed that the tears just kind of came out of me. This joy that just overwhelmed my soul. It was a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. And a few years ago, just a couple of years ago actually, when the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, yeah, it happened again. Now, I realize that's a little different than laughter, but it's in the same field, isn't it? It's in the same household. And if you haven't had one, you've probably had another. But what I'm talking about is in our inner world, how things can begin to happen that can be, they can just literally climb out of us. And we're not always even aware that they're happening. We get caught up in the moment. We're not always aware of the reality of our inner world and what's happening inside of there, what's moving and changing and how it's reacting to our outer world and all that's there. So this morning we're going to be looking at a story. And the story is of this beautiful person named Mary. The scripture says, got up early with some other women and went to the tomb to go see Jesus. Now you want to talk about a person of courage. Jesus was a person of courage, facing both what he was dealing with inside as well as the outer world with just this willingness to face reality on reality's terms, knowing that God was with him all the time. But Mary got up. They had been mourning. They'd been grieving the loss of Jesus now for 3 days. And she got up, and her heart was still heavy. She had lost so much. And she got to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And they didn't know what to make of it. So they ran back and got the disciples. Many of you know this story. This is the Easter story. And Peter and John came back and looked in, and they didn't know what to make of it. The grave clothes were lying there. The scripture says that John believed, but Peter didn't know what to make of it. There were two angels there as well. And after everyone had left, Mary was still standing there. And the gospel says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent down to look at the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?'" They really mean two things. The first is, are you in touch with what's happening inside of you? And the second is, there's not really a reason to cry sad tears. He's alive. "Why are you crying?" they asked. "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Mary was at the tomb, and she went on this incredible emotional roller coaster in her inner world as a result of her outer world. She came to the tomb that morning, a profile of courage. She got up. She got up to see what she could do. She'd sat around long enough. She needed to do something. And so she got up to serve Jesus. She and the women came to bring spices. And her heart was still heavy. She was grieving the loss of what was inside of her, only to turn around and find Jesus in a matter of minutes. And her inner landscape changed in ways that we can probably barely imagine. What's interesting about us, and we're beginning to discover more and more, is how God created the inner landscape and how it ties to our understanding of ourselves and our lives and how we're to face reality and how it helps us. I discovered just recently that in 2008, Rosalind Fisher was an artist and a photographer that was going through a very hard time in life. She had kind of an exploring spirit, as many artists do, and she wanted to understand her world, both her inner world and her outer world, and she was good at capturing those in pictures. She cried a lot of tears during that time, and trying to get in touch with what was happening inside of her, she began to explore the whole nature of tears. And to her amazement, and the world's amazement really, she discovered something absolutely profound. She took her tears and she dried them on a slide and put them under a microscope. And what she discovered was that our tears do not all look the same under a microscope. In fact, what she discovered was even more profound than that. It wasn't like a snowflake deal where every tear is different. No, to the contrary, what she found was that our different emotions produce different kinds of tears. As a matter of fact, biochemically, she began to discover as she did some research that there are different recipes for our tears. Water, proteins, minerals, hormones, antibodies, enzymes. And in fact, our tears look different based upon what we're feeling. I'm going to put up some pictures for you to see as I'm talking here, to get a glimpse of what I'm talking about. This first slide is a picture of four different kinds of tears. Look at this, isn't it amazing? Grief, change, an onion, you know, the tears from an onion, and laughing. Look how beautiful that is. It's almost astounding. This is what happens when your tears crystallize and you can see how profoundly different they are. capturing our body's way of expressing what is actually happening inside of us. The next pictures show other forms of things that we go through. The next one is endings and beginnings. How we go through those big periods of change. The next one is goodbyes. Take a look at that one. Or how about this one? I love this one. Mom's happy tears. I talked about that as we opened the sermon. And the last one's redemption. She has more pictures than this, but the last one's redemption. It's gorgeous, isn't it? My point of bringing this up to you is that it takes courage to look at what's inside of us and to look at what's outside of us and to face it on reality's terms, to really engage it, to live life fully in the midst of it. Rose wrote these words on her website where she posts the pictures. Tears are a medium of our most primal language in moments as unrelenting as death, as basic as hunger, and as complex as a rite of passage. They're the evidence of an inner life overflowing its boundaries, spilling over into consciousness. Wordless and spontaneous, they release us to the possibility of realignment, reunion, catharsis, intractable resistance short-circuited. Shedding tears, shedding old skin. It's as though each of our tears carries a microcosm of the collective human experience, like one drop of an ocean. In our story today, Mary went to the tomb filled with grief and loss. But she went. She went understanding where she was and with courage. She was willing to face all the loss that was inside of her and do something with it, respond to it, not just ignore it, not just bury it, not just move on, but really engage it. What did it mean that she had lost this? And her heart said, I must do something about it. And so it was an act of courage for her to get up that morning and to go to a tomb that she would not be able to get in on her own. The stone was too big. There was no way she was ever going to be able to see, much less touch, the body of Jesus. But she went anyway. And when she got there, hope within her was nailed closed. She was wrestling with the outer reality that she had. While she was able to acknowledge her grief and her loss, Jesus had told her, along with all the disciples, that on the third day he would rise again. And though the stone was rolled away, and though the tomb was empty, her heart would not allow her to accept the outer reality that Jesus could actually be alive. Something inside of her said it was too hard to believe that. She didn't have the courage in that moment. She could face the inner loss, but the outer potential for joy, it was just too much for her. And so she had to convince herself that someone had stolen him. To be honest with you, it was the most reasonable thought. The most reasonable thought is that if the stone is rolled away and the body is gone, that someone took it. But hope was trying to poke holes in that. And the scripture says the two angels were sitting there and looked at her where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the feet, and said, "Why are you crying?" She could have answered that question. She knew why she was crying. She had lost someone that was so precious to her, and someone who meant the world to her, someone who taught her about God and reminded her that she was important, that she was whole. So many other people, because of her background and what she'd done in life, had dismissed her. They had set her aside as, well, trash. But Jesus didn't see her that way at all. He was one of the first people to see her as a person of great worth and value. And she loved him for it. And his death was not only the death of, well, the Messiah, but it was also this deep friend who had loved her and connected with her and cared for her and taught her about love and forgiveness, about getting rid of guilt in ways that she had never encountered before. She had offered him freedom and joy in ways that she had never before understood or known. And so if she were to answer the question, why are you crying? In her inner world, it's because I have lost this person. In her outer world, it's because on top of that, someone must have taken him. To add insult to injury, after being beaten, whipped, stripped, crucified, spit upon, mocked, and dying bearing the sins of the world, he'd been laid in a grave without the dignity of proper embalming or spices, a spear hole in his side. And Mary, in her heart, said, above all this, now I must face the outer reality that someone has taken him. Because it was the only realistic alternative to her at the moment. As she turned around from the angels, Jesus was standing there, the scripture says, but she didn't realize it was him. She'd lived with him. She'd been with him. She'd seen him. She'd known him. You can say he was different because he was risen, but I think maybe she just had a hard time accepting, acknowledging, having the courage to believe it was him. And yet that's exactly why Jesus was there. He had a special relationship with Mary. He loved her so deeply. And while everyone else had gone away, she had stayed. She was persistent, her courage strong. It's interesting how we can have strong courage in some areas and weak in others, isn't it? How we can be so willing to face some realities and have real trouble with others. That's part of being human and part of Addison. Some of us are really good at the reality of the outer world, and some of us are really good at the reality of the inner world. And some of us have problems in both areas. That's probably most of us. And Mary here, she had had the courage to get up and to go and to do something for her Lord, but the notion that there could be hope in this moment was just too much for her. She could not grab onto that courage. And so Jesus leaned into it and said, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And the scripture says, thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, if you're the one who's taken him, if you're the one who has changed the reality that I know, that my friend is lying in that tomb, my master, my savior, then please tell me so I can put him back. And Jesus simply said to her, Mary. And there was something about the way that he said it. There was something about hearing her name that penetrated through all the inner defenses and all of her thoughts around this to say, oh my. And suddenly, starting at the bottom of her feet, a hope and a joy began to rise up inside of her, began to fill her entire being. And it moved all the way up through her soul. And it must have happened in just an instant as she realized and grasped in that moment that it was Jesus. And the scripture doesn't say, but I'm relatively certain that there were tears. That the tears of loss just minutes ago had come to be the tears of joy. And in that moment, it says she turned to him and cried out, teacher. It emanated from her. And he said, don't hold on to me. I haven't gone back to my father yet. You can't cling to me. I still have more to do. But I'm here to tell you, it's real. And the courage that you show in coming to the tomb, the courage that you show in walking through your grief, was so important. Dr. Henry Cloud, he's a great psychologist. He says, you know, we human beings have trouble with grief. Grief is this one of the few emotions that we choose to enter into. We can choose not to do it, he says. And those who enter into it find that what it does is it helps actually metabolize or process our loss. It helps us to move through and actually get rid of all of these other emotions, dealing with them and moving through them in powerful ways. And he said, in the end, the power of grief is that it allows us to clear space inside our souls for hope and for new and for change. And Mary had been doing that work the past couple of days. She'd been doing the work of facing the reality of what was happening in her world, of processing through her loss, of weeping and grieving and aching. And I don't know that it was all done, but in this moment as Jesus showed up, as the reality of his life and his new life came crashing in, she had space in her soul. When her mind could see and she could fully accept all the hope that was happening inside of her, it was irresistible. And suddenly, the grief disappeared in a wash and the joy filled her to overflowing. It takes a powerful moment for us to move through those things, both inside of us and outside of us. And right now, many of us are going through all kinds of changes, and we're not always having the courage to ask what's happening inside of us or outside of us. It's too much sometimes. But the beauty of the gospel is this. The beauty of the gospel is that God calls us to courage. Be strong and courageous, Joshua says. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. See, the reasons why Christians can have a different kind of courage is that we don't have to face our inner world alone. Jesus is willing to come with us. We don't have to face our outer world alone. He's willing to be present with us. And that makes courage easier. Not easy. That's why it's courage. But easier. It allows us to know that we can face what's in front of us because Jesus is willing to go with us. And that's what's so beautiful about who God is. You see, Jesus not only bore our guilt and our shame, he not only died our death, he not only took on our sins and paid the price for all of them, but he also came back and came to Mary and said, I just want you to know, I'm alive. Have courage. Have faith. I really am here. The ability to be courageous in hard moments when someone is willing to stand with us is amazing. I want to close with a video story. This is a story of a young woman who just a couple of weeks ago, at the age of 15, finished her final session of chemotherapy for cancer. You can imagine what it must be like at 15 to have cancer. Or maybe you can. I certainly had a hard time. But as she finished her final chemotherapy treatment and was headed back home, family, friends, the community had gathered to greet her. And I want you to watch in this brief video clip of what it was like for her to drive to her home as people began cheering and shouting for her. Her name is Coco. Watch with me. Coco. I bet if you were watching that for the first time, there's a good chance that you had some tears. The notion that they all came out to support her and to help her, to remind her that she didn't face this alone, probably gave her a different kind of courage, but it certainly showed on her face and the tears that she cried. You know, the beautiful thing about God is that He calls us to be courageous, to understand the reality around us, but to do it as a community and as followers who know that we're not alone. Jesus loves to bring hope, and some of us have a hard time with hope. Some of us are a little pessimistic. The negative is easier to believe than the positive. I have friends who say, if I prepare myself for the negative, I never have to be disappointed. But we're called to be people of hope. Courage calls us to deal with the reality of our inner world and our outer world because God is present with us. It's the story of David and Goliath. It's the story of Joshua. It's the story of so many people in Scripture, and it's the story of the resurrection. It's the story of every one of the disciples and the people that Jesus appeared to. Did they wrestle? Yes. And we will too. But I encourage you today, be people of strong courage. Be willing to face the world, your inner world and your outer world, for God. And know that He has come to bring hope and life and joy and strength. And there will be days when you will cry tears of loss. And there will be days when you cry tears of joy. He made us to do both and everything in between. But when we do so with courage, God always uses it to bring about the next thing He has for us. Would you pray with me? Father, we want to thank You for Jesus. We want to thank You for Easter. We want to thank You for the hope that Christ brought to Mary. She was in such a low place, such a hard place, and she knew it. She could feel it inside of her, and she was grieving that loss. But You took what was empty, and You filled her. Give us the courage to believe as she did, that You are alive, that You are active in our world, that You love us, and that You will help us to face anything we have to face. In Your holy Son's name we pray, the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord make you a person of hope today, and courage. Amen.
He is risen indeed. Happy Easter from the tailors.
Hi everybody, it's Miss Bettina.
And Rigel.
And we wanted to wish all of you a happy Easter from the Wachter family.
Miss you, Bethany friends. Stay safe and healthy.
Happy Easter, Bethany. I hope everyone stays safe and God bless you all.
Easter from the
Copsies.
Happy Easter from the Coonies.
Well, friends, I hope this service blessed you. I hope that it brought you joy and moved you. Every part of the service was pre-recorded and done safely. If people are close together, it's because we taped it quite a while ago. And so we pray that as you celebrate the rest of this day, you celebrate Christ and all He's done for you, that He would fill you with joy and hope and peace. Go in the love and the joy of Christ, our Savior.
God, on this Resurrection Sunday, we're so thankful for Your sacrifice. We love You, Jesus.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven You came running. There was mercy in Your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. to a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom come and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died.
We're so grateful, God, and that's why we sing.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
You rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored, and the church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. And by his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
One more time, let's sing.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. You're the God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
King of Kings.